Well, I guess all of you people moved the clock forward. You're here. Maybe others that didn't will come in later, or is it vice versa? No. Changing time twice a year is unscriptural. Yeah. If they hadn't set the clock, they had been here an hour earlier. I hear there is thought, movement, whatever you want to call it, in some states and maybe even here in Washington to do away with the changing of the time. I'll vote for them if they do that. Okay, we have been looking at why we do what we do. From the standpoint of not seeing why we do what we do so that we can check it off a list. Check, I was here Sunday morning. Check, I was baptized. Check, I was saying a check. That's not what we are looking for as to why we do what we do, but rather why do we do it? Is it because of Scripture? Is it because of tradition, man's tradition, God's tradition? Is it because this is what I like to do? Or is it because that's what I don't like to do? We have looked at direct statements in the different subjects that we have covered and are covering. What is a direct statement? I would use another word, but I'd tell you what I'm asking if I did. A command is a direct statement. And we find Scripture where a command is given. Do this in remembrance of me was a command Jesus gave to his apostles. And when Paul talked to the Corinthians regarding the Lord's Supper, he repeats that. We must always keep any of the ways of determining why we do what we do or in the context in which they're found, of course. We've also, even though we may not use the term, have used inference. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, the Hebrew writer told those Hebrew Christians. It is inferred that there's a place together. Some say necessarily inferred. If you're going to have a gathering, there's got to be a place, right? We've also looked at examples. But not every example that we find in the New Testament am I going to follow. Again, it's in the context. So, it makes it difficult sometimes when people don't understand the background of the Scripture, the context of the Scripture, the reason of what was said was said. We talked about the Lord's Supper last week and the week before, and we went to this subject here to illustrate some things about the Lord's Supper. I want to take up from there and then go on to some other thoughts, but I wanted to finish what, and every time we have this discussion in this series of thinking, I go home and I say, well, why didn't I think of that? I'll do the same today probably. But anyhow, so far as the bread, the unleavened bread, and the fruit of the vine, last week, I said, I would like to have prime rib and okra on the Lord's, as we eat the Lord's Supper. As a memorial to Jesus, I want to, those two things. Why would you say that is or is not scriptural? Mo? You grew up in Tennessee?
No, sir.
I didn't think so. Arkansas?
Arkansas?
Arkansas? Yeah. I thought all Arkies and Okies and Texans ate okra. Okay.
I was
PAD. All right. Mo said that's what Jesus used to say, this is my body, my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. What do we call that? Or is there something else that anybody else wants to add before we look at why we call what we call that? Mary? Passover had lamb, lettuce, bitter herbs. So why can't we in the Lord's Supper? Barbara? Okay, that's what we've been talking about here is how do we determine if this is specific, as Barbara said, and that's what Mo was indicating. As Barbara points mentioned, well, it didn't say not to use something else. That's an argument from the silence, but why not? You can't what?
You can't use negative authority.
Mary? Okay. So Jesus used these two things. Board? Noah was told to build an ark. He said, build it out of gopher wood. Why couldn't he have used pine, fir, on down the line? This is what Ward was saying. When something is specified, if you're going to do something else, find where God said, it's all right to use something else. A specific eliminates other wood. Or appreciate that. Okay, Ted. Let me use another illustration. Turn in your Bibles to Numbers. And see if this works here. In Numbers. I hadn't told you yet. I'm making sure that I have the right passage. Last week, Megan brought up Nadab and Abihu. Oh, well, that's right. Okay. I knew that didn't sound right. Leviticus 10. I was in Numbers, you were in Numbers, now go to Leviticus. Yes. This is probably familiar to everybody, but I want to read it with you. Leviticus 10, verse 1. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized, this version says, some versions say strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Moses said unto Aaron, this is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Any of your versions say something because they offered unauthorized or strange fire?
Profane.
Something that's profane is not holy. We'll not try to find the passage, but God told them where to get the fire. The Leviticus is all of those instructions. So when they offered fire, which is called in this version unauthorized, strange, profane, God struck them dead. That fire that they used, which was unauthorized, this version says, was not the specific fire that he had told them to use. When he said, here's where you get the fire, and they got it somewhere else, the specific instruction was, you can't say, well, he didn't say not to. Don't let the fire go out. Larry?
If you, as a parent sending a child down to the store to buy some bread and milk, and brought back a package of cigarettes, you'd be mad, wouldn't you? That's kind of the same thing.
I used to send Brian to the store. We lived in Calgary, just from less than a block from this store. using Larry's illustration when Brian was, you were older than 10 years old, though. Anyway, we sent Brian to the store to get that bread and milk that Larry's talking about, and he comes back with 10 pounds of candy. He brought back an unauthorized, strange thing from the store. When I said bread and milk, what did that do? It was specific. Even though I may have given him $20, and he had plenty of money to buy something else. So there is say the rest of the word. Specificity. There you go. So I can't have my prime rib. I'm not talking about anything else but the memorial. You're right. Barbara. Unleavened. I got to. Something like that. I like Wonder Bread. That's what she was talking about. That's what people down in Texas used to eat. But again, there was a certain type of bread that was used at the Passover that Jesus used for remembering me. Bread through the vine, but is unleavened. So does unleavened in the passages specify? So, if I'm not following up with your comment, I just cause it's what you said is fine with me. But anyway, if somebody else has something, did I see another hand somewhere? Oh, okay, yeah, Alma. Yes, that's a good point that many today say, well, times are different. That's a big argument about homosexuality. People make, well, it's different now. But if all scripture that is inspired of God is profitable, to make the son, and I'm leaving out part of this passage there, to make the sons of God complete unto every good work, et cetera, then it's profitable then, and it's profitable now. God's word doesn't change because he has delivered it exactly like he wants it. Ford.
And no one has authority to change the
Mary? They couldn't have, Abel couldn't have offered his by faith, except God had told him, because faith comes by hearing what God says. So, you mean I can't say, well, it doesn't say not to? Well, okay. I can't say it doesn't say not to and be right. Go ahead, Brittany. Yeah. Well, you didn't say I couldn't do that. Now, what did I say you could do? Right? I see the wheels turning, Laverne. They were making a feast out of the Lord's Supper. Is that right?
Common meal.
Common meal. That's a better way of putting it. I thought about going there, but I think I won't. Not for right now, unless you bring it up. Okay. Last week, I think it was last week. I said, it's not wrong to argue. Is that right? Argue. I didn't hear you, Ward. Well, that's what I'm asking. Is that what I meant? Barbara. Argue can have two different meanings at least. Argue in the sense of quarreling, arguing in the sense of contentious. But I can argue and I can contend. I think that's the word that Ward used. And it's good. And that's what we've been doing. Barbara's already given it to you, but I'll read you the definition of argue. It is to argue, it's to give reasons or cite evidence in support of an idea, action, or theory, typically with the aim of persuading others to share one's view. Now, I may argue something and not be contentious, but I may be wrong, right? Okay. Defense attorneys argue that the police lacked probable cause to arrest the driver. It stands to reason, she argued. It means to persuade someone to do or not to do something by giving reasons. I tried to argue him out of it. I just thought I'd make that clear. If you didn't understand me last week when I said whatever I said, that arguing isn't wrong. Kramer and then Mo.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, what passage, what verse is that? And the first one, Acts 9, did, was it? Or 9:29. He was with them going in and out at Jerusalem. This is Paul, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spake, this old version says, and disputed against the Grecian Jews and seeking to kill him. So this one says disputed. You can dispute something and still not be quarrelsome and contentious. And you gave another passage, but I thought of one too in Acts the 15th chapter. You remember what that was about? So people came down to Jerusalem and said the Gentiles need to keep the law of Moses. Basically, that was it. So they got the apostles and the elders. In Acts 15, verse 4, they rehearsed all the things that God had done with them. But there arose a certain sect of the Pharisees who believed, saying, it is needful to circumcise them, to charge them to keep the law of Moses. Well, the apostles and the elders gathered together to consider the matter. And then here's verse 7 in the Old American Standard Version. And when there was much questioning, Peter rose up and said to them. What's the newer version say? When there was much discussion. Debate. Anyway, that might not have been a big thing, but I thought, well, some people may have heard me say, let's argue about it, or whatever I said, I can't quote, but I use the word argue. And that's what we've been doing for the last several weeks since January. We have been discussing these things. We've been challenging our mind to look at what we do, why we do it, etc., and try to see that we need to be in accordance to God's word, not because we're going to be saved by works, check it off, but because it's pleasing to Him and it shows our faith in what He said. Ward. That's when it becomes contentious rather than contending. Yes. I guess contentious in my mind, and it may not again be right. Contentious to me always had a bad connotation, but maybe it doesn't. Just like argue, it doesn't have a bad connotation. It depends on what you mean, where it's quarrelsome or whatever you want to call it. Handing out a sheet here. The subject that was brought up by someone, and speak where the Bible speaks, be silent where it is silent. We'll finish that in just a moment if there's something else need to be said. But I want to give this to you because the other thing that was mentioned by one of the in the class was songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. There are four articles in this group. You see on the last page of there, and there's four. There's one page. There's two. There's one page on each side of each article. In other words, there's four sheets, so the articles are two pages long. You'll see on the last page is written by Wes McAdams. Wes McAdams has a blog. Now, I'm handing this out to you not because I think he's right in everything he said or anything that he said. But instead of you bringing up something and discussing it as we have been doing, we're going to let him bring it up. So that means you're going to have to read this. It's only eight pages. Or only eight. Four pages, two sides. And did it get back to everybody? And I want you to criticize it. I want you to look at it. If he says something that is not according to Scripture, that's what you're to bring up. If you don't understand something that he said, we bring that up. Now, all of them except the second one have to do with music. The second one on the third page, if you will, is when our congregational singing becomes wrong. I just thought I would put that in there with it. Anyway, he has a blog, and that's where I found this. It's on the internet. As I said, his name is Wes Adams. I've forgotten where he is, where he's in Texas or wherever. And people will make comment on his blog. That's the way the blog works. Somebody writes something, and there's room down there at the bottom for them to make comments. That's what I want you to do, but you'll have to read it all. And if you read a page a day, that'd take you 8 days, but you can read more than a page a day. And the first page is why I believe in congregational a cappella singing and worship. The second page, as I just mentioned, is when our congregational singing becomes wrong. We don't necessarily have to discuss that, but if you like, that's fine. And the fourth one is what about instruments of music in the Old Testament or instruments in the Old Testament? And the last page is why must you use instruments in worship? Now, there can be a number of things that you can criticize, question in this. There's some space, write it down when you think of it as you read it. And we'll see if this fellow has any good sense, any scriptural basis, and so on. So bring that back with you next week. There was one other thing I was going to mention about where the Bible speaks, we speak. Is there anything else you'd like to... Now, we use the Lord's Supper. And... And last week we used a little bit of on the first day of the week when Paul, in Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 7, gathered together to illustrate, speak where the Bible speaks, silent where it is silent. Everybody understand that if the Bible is silent, where God didn't say anything about gopher wood or fire that he didn't authorize, that that's what that term means, or does it mean something else? In other words, as we've already stated, well, he didn't say not to. That's arguing from the silence. Is that right? Your wheels are turning. Does everybody understand what I'm trying to get us to do with this? Okay. What if it's in the Old Testament? All spirit is inspired of God, is profitable, etc., etc. The Old Testament inspired. You have to use some reasoning as to whether or not what is said and done in the Old Testament is what we need to do or not do. Sure. You ever pray? They did in the Old Testament. You want to be more specific? Okay. That's in here. And we'll discuss this next week. Any question? Any further comment? Do you understand where we're going with this? That in essence is no different than if Wes McAdam was sitting right here and he brought up what he says here. If you have something other than what he brought up here in reference to this subject, well, of course, then we'll consider it. That's what we've been doing. Barbara, is your hand that I see over here? Art and Gingrich is another one. Art and Gingrich.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, so there's more than two, is all I was saying. Okay, if that's what you're talking about, that's for next week.
Okay,
this fellow doesn't mention the word sallow in this.
I understand, but the thing is that people look, they say, yes, the New Testament is written in Greek. Greek is today, it's a literal language. And Greek is written in Greek.
But not Koine Greek. Hebrew is a dead language too, but people speak Hebrew today, but not like they did in Old Testament days. That's one reason that the Greek and the Hebrew, the Aramaic of the Bible, if you understand what they meant by it back then when they spoke it, and they'll no longer speak it now, that's why we can, or how we can determine whether or not this is what they meant or that is what they meant. All right, next week then, we'll, and probably for a couple of weeks, but however long you'd like to discuss it, we'll look at this subject and using Wes McAdams' thoughts to be a springboard for us. But like anything else that comes to your mind that we need to look at about it, we're going to argue.
Or debate.
All right. Thank you.